Jalen Green's name makes it into the top five for the Rookie of the Year race. Does he have a legit shot to win the award? Also, some Rockets lineup data, and is it time to have the discussion? Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin. Also, Chet Holmgren showing out for Gonzaga against Georgia State. Some thoughts on his performance, as well as thoughts on the other top prospects leading into this year's NBA draft as we're rolling into March Madness, all coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, for today's show, got a handful of different topics I want to tackle in this one. Jalen Green's name making it into the top five for the Rookie of the Year race. Does he have a legit shot to win the award? Also, some Rockets lineup data from kind of this back half of the season. And is it time to have the discussion, Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin, who is the better fit in the starting lineup for this Rockets team? And then lastly, I want to talk about Chet Holmgren, his performance in Gonzaga's win against Georgia State, what I saw out of him, concerns, highlights, all of that. But first things first, let's get into Jalen Green. And obviously, it's been so great to see him have the jump this, you know, second half of the season, pretty much ever since about early February. And now, you know, the national media pundits are starting to really notice what he's doing and the leaps and strides that he's made in his game. And, you know, no much more so than just going to look at the Kia rookie ladder and seeing that Jalen Green's name is now in the top five for the first time since the first week of the season when he had that explosive performance against the Boston Celtics, kind of his career high up until his, you know, new career high that he dropped against the Lakers with the 32, including the 10 straight points in overtime. So when it comes to Jalen and kind of the current, you know, setting of the rookie ladder, right, we've got Evan Mobley kind of clear cut ahead of the pack, you know, past everybody else at number one. You've got Cade Cunningham clocking in at number two, Scottie Barnes at number three, Franz Wagner at number four, and then now Jalen Green coming in at number five. And for me, like, Cunningham and Barnes have kind of gone back and forth in that 2-3 spot for a while. Wagner's been, you know, in and out of the, you know, 2 through 4 spots, 2 through 5 spots. And he's been consistently in that top five area for a while now. It's nice to see Jalen break into the top five and garner some recognition for the improvements that he's made to his game, for the adjustments that he's made. You know, coming into the season, I thought he was going to be a lock to be at least in the discussion for Rookie of the Year. I had him as my pick, and a lot of other people did too. About half the league's GMs picked Jalen Green to win the Rookie of the Year award because coming in, we thought he was going to be the most NBA-ready prospect of the bunch, just jumping in. He was going to have the big scoring game, all of that, right? And that just wasn't the case. Now, does Jalen have a legitimate shot to win the award this season? I'm not going to say no. I think it's kind of, I don't want to say a lost cause at this point. My goal about a month ago, as Jalen was kind of on the uptrend and upswing, you know, in this second half of the Rockets season, was for him to just play a solid enough game and improve enough to round out the end of the year that he would at least finish in top three, right? I want him to be a finalist for the award. Do I think he's going to walk away the winner? Unfortunately, probably not. I think that Evan Mobley's impact for the Cavaliers and the fact that they are in the playoff hunt in his rookie campaign, all of that, the stats don't lie. The impact that he has on the court doesn't lie. Evan Mobley has been, you know, I'm not going to say transcendent, but Evan Mobley's been pretty damn good. And so I think right now the Rookie of the Year award is his to lose, unfortunately. If he suddenly, you know, drops off in these final, you know, 15 or so games of the season, if the Cavs start to stumble and lose their footing in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, then maybe that impacts it a little bit and gives Cade or Jalen a chance to take the jump, or Scotty Barnes or even Franz Wagner to take the jump and, you know, claim the mantle for their own. But at this point, I just want Jalen to continue steadily improving and getting to the point where he's going to be at least a consensus top three, you know, pick for Rookie of the Year and a finalist for the award, because that in and of itself shows his growth and development throughout the season. The fact that he had such a rough start earlier in the year, and the fact that he's getting to a point where now he's unlocking areas of his game that we haven't really seen, right? He came in, you know, billed as a three-level scorer, advertising himself as a three-level scorer, and we didn't see that on display at all throughout the earlier part of the season. Now he's rolled back and he's got the mid-range arsenal back in his game. We're seeing him start to make these really impressive reads. One of the moments that I you know, didn't highlight in the recap episode from the game against the Suns was this play from Jalen where he split the pick and roll and got through two Suns defenders and finished at the rim with an emphatic dunk. Like, it's those types of reads that we weren't necessarily seeing Jalen make earlier this season, or we'd see him try to make some of these reads and just the timing was a little bit off, or the defense was kind of, you know, anticipating a little bit better. And now we're seeing Jalen actually take these opportunities. And again, the adage is, right, the game has slowed down for him, right? And I feel like it's almost a cliche at this point to throw that terminology out there, but it really does feel like the game has absolutely slowed down for Jalen, because especially just when you watch how he operates in the pick and roll, right? He's really doing such a great job of waiting for the screen, right? Like angling himself so that he's utilizing these screens much better, right? One of my biggest gripes from Jalen, especially in, this started all the way back in Summer League, was the Rockets would set screens for Jalen and then he wouldn't do anything with them. Like, I was watching Summer League and I was so frustrated by the fact that the Rockets would, you know, spin his possession, send a big up there, set a screen for Jalen. He'd come off the screen and he wouldn't do anything. Like, he wouldn't get into his move. He wouldn't start attacking. He wouldn't do anything with the screen. Now we're seeing him utilize screens so effectively, right, to get himself open, put his defender on his hip, or get the defender on his back, and then, you know, get to the mid-range and pull up for the shot there, get all the way to the cup. Or my personal favorite at this point, and a lot of favorites for the fans, is when he goes in and he kind of snakes the pick and roll now, right? Gets in there, gets, you know, snakes around the pick and roll, the big decides to drop, and so he's got the wide open mid-range right there, and he's been super money on the mid-range, you know, in the second half of the Rockets season. Again, ever since roughly early February is when his numbers really started to take off. And this is exactly what we hoped we would see out of Jalen Green, kind of likening him to an Anthony Edwards, right? And the type of, you know, second half stint that he had in his rookie campaign, where you started to see the game slow down for him. You started to see him really put everything together, and all that talent started to kind of coalesce for Edwards. And we're starting to see that happen for Jalen Green. So hopefully he can finish at least in the top three of the Rookie of the Year voting. I'm not expecting him to make the leap and actually, you know, claim the award for his own. It would have been really cool, but hey, we're not worried about the short-term success of Jalen Green. Yeah, it would have been cool to have the bragging rights of him winning Rookie of the Year award. Yeah, Evan Mobley fans are probably going to be insufferable. Evan Mobley truthers within the Rockets fandom are probably going to be insufferable if he walks away winning the Rookie of the Year award. Shouldn't be a referendum on Jalen Green. He has grown steadily throughout the season, and the future is really, really bright for him. We're worried about long-term success here for the Houston Rockets, not short-term awards when it comes to Rookie of the Year. But with that, do want to talk about some lineup data for the Houston Rockets from the second half of the season. And hey, is it time to finally have the discussion? Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin. We're going to get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Bet Online. Because look, we got March Madness here, right? It's in full swing. It's in full effect. We're going to talk about Chet Holmgren and his performance for Gonzaga in segment three. But BetOnline has you covered with all the latest odds, contests, and player props. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball, right? We got March Madness full swing, but BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. They've even got Vegas casino games. Come on, go check them out. Head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, as promised, I want to get into the discussion, right? Is it time to have the discussion, Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin for this Rockets team? And I also want to get into a little bit of interesting lineup data that I found that, you know, because I was doing some lineup data research just to kind of see if my eye test assessment matches the, you know, numbers assessment for Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin. And I found an interesting, you know, set of stats that I want to pull up and talk about. But when it comes to KJ Martin and Jayshon Tate, Jayshon's obviously anchored this, you know, the starting role for this Rockets team since last season, and he's done a remarkable job with that. And I do think that Jayshon Tate is a starting caliber NBA player. He brings so much to the table defensively, offensively. He's an incredibly versatile player. He's a great and probably underrated playmaker. However, we're at a point where the shooting has become a concern for Jayshon, where if he's not able to, and my biggest goal for him coming into this season, and, you know, stretching all the way back to last offseason, was he's got to get the shooting up to a respectable number, right? Consistently, he needs to be somewhere in the 34 to 35% range from three to be able to, you know, be considered an NBA caliber starting 3-and-D wing type player. Unfortunately, he's hovering about 30% for the season. Since February, he is down around 29%. So not great, unfortunately. Now, the difference between Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin, and one of the reasons that I was so adamant about the Rockets sticking with Jayshon Tate earlier this season as the starter, and the fact that he did kind of complement the other players in the lineup, was because I thought that Jayshon Tate, and still do, right, his playmaking can be utilized offensively, right, especially in the early stages of this Rocket season when it felt like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green were still trying to kind of find their way as to who they were and establishing themselves at the NBA level, right? KPJ getting used to running the offense full-time 24-7, Jalen Green trying to establish himself, his rookie campaign, trying to figure out who he is as an NBA player. Having Jayshon Tate there in the offensive lineup to kind of steady things and kind of be a bit of a safety valve, kind of throw him the ball, he can create for, you know, create for himself, create for somebody else, that kind of thing, definitely helped a ton. Now, I think we're at a point where the skill set from Jayshon might be better utilized coming off the Rockets bench in conjunction with the fact that I think that KJ Martin would be a better, you know, accent piece to Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green now that those two guys are more comfortable in their roles and more established. Because I think the way to look at it, right, is Jayshon has an incredibly, like, wide bag, right? Like, he has a lot of things that he is really, really, really good at. KJ Martin has a few things that he is, like, selectively really, really good at, but he's also improving in other areas of his game. Namely, when you compare the two guys, it's the shooting for KJ Martin that absolutely stands out. And it's gotten to a point where I think the numbers are starting to back it up. He's becoming a more reliable, more consistent shooter than Jayshon Tate. He's up to 34 or almost 35% shooting from three on the season. And since February, KJ is shooting 42% from behind the arc. So KJ has become the more reliable shooter of the two. But not only that, his skill set offensively, right? It's really tough because it's nice to have the versatility of Jayshon, right? He can create his own looks. He can, you know, tuck his head down, create at the rim. He has these insane finishes over legit seven footers, right? And you're like, how did he even do that? KJ doesn't have the same polish or flourish to his game that Jayshon does, but at the same time, it feels like he unlocks a little bit more offensively because he just does what he does so well, right? He's not going out there worrying about trying to get his own. He stays in his lane, right? So when KJ's out there, especially on offense, what he does well is he sets really good screens. He rolls hard to the rim. He cleans up around the rim, be it offensive putbacks, that kind of thing, creating second chance opportunities. Again, a lot of the same things that Jayshon does as well. But then as a shooter, as an outside shooter, he's been significantly more consistent, especially since early February, again, shooting 42%. And then on top of that, he's improved drastically as a driver, right? And drive and kick is a big part of this Rockets offense and a big part of Steven Silas's philosophy for this team and how they should generate offensive opportunities. So we've seen KJ become much more comfortable when it comes to putting the ball on the floor and getting to the rim and then finishing around the rim, right? We've seen him have the little finger rolls, the and one from, you know, against the Phoenix Suns where he just kind of, you know, powers up through the contact. We've seen him have some insane highlight level finishes where all he does is gets, you know, he gets that first step on his defender, or he gets, you know, a 1-2, you know, couple bounces of the ball and he gets his like shoulders past the defender. And then he just elevates and, you know, cocks the ball back and he's trying to yam it home. And it's that level of like finishing ability in and around the rim and the aggressive level of driving that he provides. Like, I don't know. He's just, it like, this is the eye test that I was talking about, is it feels like he is a more successful driver within the Rockets offensive scheme than Jayshon is. And I think a part of that is because defenses are now having to honor KJ Martin as a shooter, it's opening up driving lanes for him. Whereas with Jayshon, unfortunately, because defenses are treating him as a non-shooter at this point, he doesn't get the same opportunities. He doesn't get the same driving lanes, and it's clogging up at times, you know, his ability to drive into the rim and create offense that way, which is then, again, lessening his ability to make an impact as a playmaker, right? So, you know, I don't expect the Rockets to make a starting lineup change here in the final, you know, 15 or so games of the season. But I do think it's worth noting that moving forward, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to consider KJ Martin and potentially taking over that starting role, be it either at the four spot, the way Jayshon is playing it currently, especially in conjunction with Alperen Şengün, who, again, those two, whether coming off the bench or whether starting, KJ Martin and Alperen Şengün have looked incredible playing alongside one another. Or potentially, if KJ can keep this three-point shooting up, right? KJ is exactly the kind of guy that you look at, and we looked at this last season when he made that jump, especially in the tail end of the season where he got, you know, some of the starting nods, all that. KJ could become a really, really strong 3-and-D player at the NBA level. He's been playing a lot of the four spot, and he's even played some small ball five, and a big part of that has been because of the inconsistency in his shooting. But if he can sustain the, you know, 35, 36% three-point shooting, if he can keep that number that high, there's no reason that KJ couldn't consistently play the three spot for this Rockets team. And you could have, you know, a perimeter trio essentially of Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, and then KJ Martin anchoring the three spot, and then one of, you know, Jabari, Banchero, Holmgren, whoever, at the 4-5 spot alongside potentially Alperen Şengün as one of your, you know, possible lineups of the future, essentially. So it's food for thought, something worth considering. And in this, you know, I do want to bring up some of the lineup numbers that I found and that I saw in this research where I was kind of trying to look at the argument Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin. And I want to get to those in just a second, but I want you to tell me, like, let me know in the YouTube comments, you know, where's your head at, Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin? Who do you think is a better fit for this Rockets team? Who do you think is a better complementary piece to the Rockets backcourt of the future in Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green? Let me know in the YouTube comments, because I'm really curious to see where other people's heads are at as far as, you know, those two guys and comparing their games and who's might be the better fit moving forward for this Rockets team. Again, not trying to get rid of either guy, but just trying to entertain some possibilities, especially as we're getting ready to approach the offseason and start thinking about next year and this Rockets team moving forward. But coming up, I want to get into some of those lineup numbers that I mentioned before, as well as talk about Chet Holmgren's performance for Gonzaga against Georgia State. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Athletic Greens, because look, Athletic Greens is a product that I got introduced to that I started using probably a few weeks ago, because I've never been one to, you know, super take care of myself, honestly, like being completely upfront. My diet largely consists of like fast food and all that. So when I was, you know, told about Athletic Greens and this, you know, really great product in AG1 that is so simple, you just take a scoop of it, throw it in your water, mix it together, you know, early in the day, and you take it every day. It's the best way to invest in your body. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, like you can check it out. And it's one of those things that you can do to really like actually take care of yourself. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than, you know, it's cheaper than buying a cup of coffee every single day from Starbucks. And again, it's better for you, right? You're investing in your own health, your own well-being. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated, like, you know, supplement routine that was basically, you know, costing him about $100 a day. AG1 only costs $3 a day, and you're investing in your own body, your own health, your own well-being, all of that. And it's something that our listeners can check out because Athletic Greens has made it so easy. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, another message from our friends over at Built Bar, because look, when it comes to protein bars, if you haven't checked out Built Bar, what are you doing? They're the best protein bars on the market. I love them. I know you will. I need to really, like, I need to keep a box here on my desk because I used to have my desk in, like, right next to my kitchen, and then I moved, and now I, like, my Built Bars are further away from me, unfortunately, but they're right over there in my kitchen. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from. Raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, peanut butter, the number one, the goat Built Bar, coconut brownie chunk, my personal favorite. You can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu, though. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. And a final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's get into this final segment stuff here. So I want to get into some of the lineup data, a quick observation from that, as well as want to talk about Chet Holmgren and his performance for the Gonzaga Bulldogs against the Georgia State Panthers in the Bulldogs win 93-72, and just kind of some thoughts on his performance there. But let's go to this lineup data stuff first. In that, so I was kind of trying to, you know, look for some lineup data that suggests, you know, getting into the Jayshon Tate versus KJ Martin argument. And Jayshon Tate actually does take the edge with the lineup data. So even though, like, my eye test is saying that KJ might be a better complementary piece to Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, the lineup data still suggests that as far as the three-man lineups go, KPJ, Jalen, and Jayshon has a net rating of -3.3, whereas, oh, and this is from February 1st, because I'm kind of like looking at everything from early February, this last month or so, a little over a month, kind of that's when Jalen started to really take off with his game. So, and that's also, you know, post All-Star break, the Rockets started, you know, kind of hammering home their defensive, you know, identity, getting a little bit better, more confident on that end of the floor. So I kind of just wanted to, I didn't want to do the full season. Just looking at it since February 1st. So that three-man lineup with Jayshon Tate, Jalen Green, and Kevin Porter Jr. has a -3.3 net rating in 232 minutes played together. And then the lineup of KPJ, Jalen Green, and KJ Martin in 132 minutes played together have a -13.6 net rating. So quite a stark contrast in those two three-man lineup groups. So the nod clearly going to Jayshon Tate currently, but I still, you know, posit that at this point, especially with the shooting that KJ Martin provides, I think he might be a better complementary piece to the backcourt of the future moving forward and just to the Rockets in general. And it might be a conversation that we have to revisit and might be a conversation worth having moving forward into next season. Who should be the starter for this Rockets team? It also depends on a lot of other factors, like whether or not the Rockets do pick up a Chet Holmgren or a Paolo Banchero or Jabari Smith in the draft, right? Depending on who may or may not slot into the starting lineup next season, depending on how the draft goes. But the other thing that I noticed looking at this lineup data, and it is a very teeny tiny sample size because it's only 48 minutes played, but the only positive net rating of the three-man lineup groups for this Houston Rockets team since February 1st, and again, February 1st is about a month and a half ago, and it's only 48 minutes sample size, Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, and Josh Christopher have a 14.8 net rating in their three-man lineup rotation. That, I thought, was pretty nifty because And I thought this when the Rockets played against the Suns, because we saw, you know, brief stretches, KPJ, Jalen, and Jacob all out there on the court together. And I really do like that three-guard lineup rotation. Right now, you know, at times we've seen Josh Christopher, you know, kind of fill that EG-esque role, right? Sixth man, spark plug off the bench, combo guard, solid defender. I don't think EG is the right comp for Josh Christopher. I also don't think like the Drew Holiday comps from before the draft and during the draft and after the draft and all that, I don't necessarily think the Drew Holiday comps are great either. I still haven't figured out in my head who Josh Christopher really looks like or is as a player. But I do like his, you know, the way that he plays in conjunction with those other two guys, right? With Jalen, with KPJ. And I think you can get away with some of those three guard sets. You know, we see it consistently with the starting lineup with Eric Gordon out there, is having Josh Christopher and those two and the two others, KPJ and Jalen, all on the floor together. I want to see more of that, right? The fact that we've only seen it for 48 minutes through, you know, since February 1st. Now I get it. You know, Steven Silas has been doing trying to stagger lineups a little bit, and he's predominantly been keeping Jalen and KPJ, you know, playing together rather than staggering those two. We've seen that kind of be an on and on again, off again thing this season where he staggers him, he doesn't stagger him, and now it seems like he's consistently back to staggering those guys, you know, except for, you know, a couple minutes here and there throughout a game. And largely anchoring the second unit, we have Dennis Schroeder, Josh Christopher, Eric Gordon when healthy, all of that, right? So, you know, I wonder how much more of it we're potentially going to see this season, but I do think it's something, you know, to keep an eye on for the future, in the fact that those three guys can absolutely all play and flourish on the floor with one another at the same time, because you've got the size with KPJ and Jalen Green right there. Obviously they're not, you know, big size, but you've got enough size to where you're not worried about being, you know, ridiculously small on the perimeter if you do run a three-guard set with Josh Christopher out there in addition to those other two. But I just thought it was interesting that as far as that lineup data is concerned, that's the only positive three-man lineup for the Rockets over the last month or so. And again, small data sample, unfortunately, with just 48 minutes, but I thought it was cool and wanted to point it out. Now, want to, you know, wrap things up here with just some thoughts on Chet Holmgren, his performance for Gonzaga against Georgia State in their 93-72 win. Man, Chet Holmgren's stat line is just ridiculous. Like, you know, this is what you get when you get a legit 7-footer playing against like college kids. 19 points, 17 rebounds, 8 of 13 shooting, missed his only two threes, was 3 of 5 from the free throw line, had 5 assists, 2 steals, and 7 blocks. 7 blocks. 7! 7 of them! Now, you know, I walk away thinking, like, the box score numbers look insane, right? And this is still my main concern with Chet. He's got... pardon me. He's got great defensive instincts. He really does. Like, he's going to be a really, really solid defensive player. But I'm also really concerned about his lack of size at this point, right? And he gets ragdolled by college guys. Like, watching some of the plays in this game against Georgia State, right? Chet would, you know, and he uses his size really well, right? Like, he is... You know, he's a high point rebounder, right? So he gets the ball, you know, he's not using his, you know, athletic ability to like soar over players. He's just taller and he just gets rebounds a lot in that way and contests shots that way. And he's, you know, active on the glass because of his height and size. But watching, you know, some of the Georgia State players just body him, like going in for offensive rebounds, that kind of thing. Chet got a handful of his blocks, you know, off of possessions where he, you know, missed the rebound, or like watching him like try to box out some of the Georgia State players, and he just gives so much ground. Like, I saw one possession where he boxed out and had the player, like, he started boxing out the player and they were like, I don't know, halfway down the paint, like, you know, somewhere in the right in the middle of the paint. And by the time the player was jumping for the board, they were literally like underneath the basket because they had just shoved Chet out of the way. Like, he had no weight to hold them back. And I worry that at the NBA level, right, there's already frustrations with what we've seen out of Christian Wood and how he gets absolutely bodied and abused by other legitimate fives and centers at the NBA level. And I worry that the same thing, you know, could happen to Chet. Now, is Chet a four or a five at the NBA level is a real question, right? Like, you can go all the way back to, like, we can look at, I don't know, let's look at Dirk Nowitzki, right? Like, and think, okay, with Nowitzki, was he, you know, did he play five situationally? Yeah. Was he a four? Yeah, he was a four. And he played, you know, for a majority of his career, he played alongside other legitimate fives who actually took the task of being the defensive anchor and, like, being the five for their team and, you know, different era. But we are seeing that a lot in today's NBA, where you do have some teams that are trotting out some, you know, legitimate double big lineups and using a bit more size in their front court. So maybe a front court of the future of, you know, potentially Alperen Şengün as the five, you know, who has the size, and then Chet Holmgren as the four, who, you know, is giving up a little bit of weight, unfortunately, in that department, but has the great defensive instincts, can be a very solid weak side shot blocker, can be a guy that can switch onto the perimeter, all of those things, but then offensively isn't necessarily going to be the black hole offensively that Christian Wood is when you see Alpi and Christian sharing the floor as the 4-5 combo, then maybe you're a little bit more optimistic about that potential pairing, his fit, his role at the NBA level. I don't know if Chet's going to be a five at the NBA level because of his size, because of his frame. Maybe he's just going to be like a legitimate big stretch four, right? A guy who can, you know, switch comfortably, who can, you know, guard, you know, inside, be a good weak side, you know, help defender, that kind of thing. I really don't know. But it was impressive to see him have this solid performance, you know, operating out of the pick and roll. He's a good finisher around the rim, set solid screens, not great screens, set solid screens, all these little things. It was an interesting game, and I guess that was my, you know, big takeaway in some of my concerns. Even though he put up this monster stat line, you know, I was just watching and just seeing him getting kind of tossed around by some of the big guys on the Georgia State squad. I was like, man, I don't know how this is going to translate to the NBA level. Obviously, there's a ridiculous amount of talent there for Chet, but this was just, you know, my quick observation from this game specifically and what I thought about Chet. But you also got to be on the lookout Friday for Jabari Smith Jr., who's playing for Jaden Ivey and for Paolo Banchero, who all play their games on Friday. So don't want to miss any of those, especially if you're scouting, looking into prospects for the Houston Rockets. Definitely want to check those games out. But as always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the show on YouTube. Search Locked On Rockets on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let me know what you think about the Jay Sean Tate versus KJ Martin argument. Let me know what you think about Chet Holmgren and his performance for Gonzaga and, you know, what you're looking forward to seeing out of the other top prospects, Jabari, Paolo, and Jaden Ivey. Let me know in the comments on the YouTube video. I do read each and every one of those, try to reply when I can. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.